A social worker in Nigeria once visited a young man in one of the back streets of Lagos. Beside his bed, he found the Bible, the Book of Common Prayer, the Quran, three copies of Watchtower, the magazine of the Jehovah's Witnesses, a biography of Karl Marx, a book of yoga exercises, and, what the poor fellow evidently needed most, a popular paperback entitled How to Stop Worrying. In 1966, the first multi-faith service was held in the Church of St. Martin in the Fields in London. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims and Christians took part on equal terms, making four affirmations of a supposedly common faith, giving four readings from their respective sacred scriptures, and pronouncing four blessings. In only one of these blessings was the name of Jesus mentioned for the first and last time. The secular press was enthusiastic, hailing it as a significant milestone in religious history. But the Christian newspapers described it as a betrayal of the Christian faith. It is doubtful if they would write anything similar today, for multi-faith services are held regularly. These two incidents, the one in Lagos and the other in London, are examples of the spirit of syncretism. Dr. Visit Hooft, the first General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, defined syncretism as the view that there is no unique revelation in history, that there are many different ways to reach the divine reality, that all formulations of religious truth or experience are, by their very nature, inadequate expressions of that truth, and that it is necessary to harmonize as much as possible all religious ideas and experiences so as to create one universal religion for mankind. He was outspoken in his rejection of this outlook. "It is high time that Christians should rediscover," he went on, "that the very heart of their faith is that Jesus Christ did not come to make a contribution to the religious storehouse of mankind, but that in him God reconciled the world unto himself." Today, the main challenge to the traditional understanding of the uniqueness of Christ is not syncretism, but pluralism. Not the attempt to fuse the world's religions into a single universal faith, but the recognition of the integrity of each in all its distinctive diversity. The options before us are now usually summarized as exclusivism, inclusivism, and pluralism. Exclusivism, an unfortunately negative term which gives the impression of wanting to exclude people from the kingdom of God, is used to denote the historic Christian view that salvation cannot be found in other religions, but only in Jesus Christ. Inclusivism allows that salvation is possible to adherents of other faiths, but says this salvation is due to the secret and often unrecognized work of Christ. At the Vatican II Council, Roman Catholics embraced this view, stating that Christ's saving work holds good not only for Christians, but for all men of good will in whose hearts grace works in an unseen way. Pluralism goes further still. Its advocates, rejecting exclusivism as presumptuous and arrogant, and inclusivism as patronizing or condescending. Whereas plurality expresses the simple fact that there are many religions, pluralism affirms their independent validity. It renounces every claim that Christianity is absolute, unique, definitive, final, normative, ultimate, or universal. Unlimited growth is cancer, and so would be an ever-growing single Christian religion all over the world. Instead, Christianity must be viewed as only one religion among many, and Jesus as only one Saviour among others. This is the so-called deeper and larger ecumenism that embraces the whole of humanity, of which the rainbow remains a timeless symbol. Arguments for pluralism. What is it about pluralism that many find attractive? First, there is a global consciousness. Threats to the natural environment, fears of a nuclear conflict and the continuing economic injustice between North and South have led to a planetary perspective. The very survival of the human race seems to depend on learning to live together in harmony and to cooperate for the common good. Whatever divides us, therefore, including our religions, is understandably regarded with increasing disfavor.